Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself, he purifieth himself, even as he, our Lord Jesus, is pure. I greet you in Jesus' worthy name this morning. I am humbled and blessed to be gathered together with you all, and our gathering together is unto him. It's unto him, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has loved us and gave himself for our sins, as we were singing about. Oh, that matchless, wonderful grace of Jesus. It reaches even me. Praise his name. I think I may have been in this building once before, probably around 1990. Who was here in 1990 or 91? Anyone? A few hands? I believe we were here with a youth chorus from Charity, Earl Fox leading the youth in song, and we were here for a Sunday morning service, as I recall. Like I mentioned, it's a privilege and a blessing to fellowship together around our beloved Savior. Such a joy. Sometimes our plans take a little turn in the road. And that's what happened here this weekend. My beloved bride of 45 years plus was with me to this trip to Ohio. And our youngest daughter, Alta, from Tennessee down in Muddy Pond, her due date was January 11. But you know, due dates can sort of come and go. And generally, it's usually later than the expected due date for our family. But lo and behold, January 11, she began to experience labor pains. And her husband, Austin Horst, began to experience appendicitis pains. And he ended up in the emergency room for an operation for appendicitis the same time my daughter was there at the hospital with him. Her water broke. And so she had to be quickly ushered out with her midwife to the clinic to give birth. So her husband wasn't even able to be there when she gave birth to a beautiful little daughter, our 29th grandchild. And yes, and then, not too many details here, I guess, but just the way the Lord orchestrates by. Later she began to hemorrhage and she had to go to the hospital. But thankfully, everything is all settled down. But guess what happened to Grandma when that news started to come Thursday night, during the night? So she took off on Friday morning early for Tennessee. And we're so blessed that the Lord took her there safely. A lot of major highways and heavy rain. Friday, driving down through from Ohio to Tennessee. But the Lord preserved her, kept her on her drive there. And now the whole family is back together, united. Austin's back from the hospital, and Alta's back. And they're all together in their humble little home there in Muddy Pond. And Grandma's there. And I believe there's a lot of joy in the house now. So we give God praise. Shall we turn for a scripture to Mark chapter 12, the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. We are so grateful to have Bibles that we can open the Word of God, the written Word, has been preserved for us unto this time. Mark chapter 12, and we'll read beginning in verse 28. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Could we stand together for prayer, those who can? Our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, what a privilege that we have heard the gospel and we can say our Father. Lord, here we are this morning, and Father, we are here upon the earth, but our voices, our hearts cry out to you, our Father, who art in heaven. And we acknowledge, Lord, you're holy. Holy is your name. Hallowed is thy name. And Father, here we are, and we're asking, Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Father, Father, we are hungry. Lord, I pray that all of us here this morning are hungry for God, hungry for righteousness and truth, hungry for fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us. Forgive us our debts, our sins. Oh, Lord, forgive us our sins and cleanse us and wash us, Lord, that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Oh, thank you, Lord. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can agree with the hymn writer who said, I had so many sins, but he took them all away, because all the way to Calvary he went for me. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I ask now in Jesus' name, would you answer our heart's cry? Would you answer the prayers of your people? Would you answer the longing desires and hungry hearts? Lord, you promised. You fill and you satisfy the hungry soul with good things. So, Lord, we're asking for this morning, because we know you are our faithful Heavenly Father. Your ear is open to our cry and our prayer. So, Father, we come with expectation and faith and confidence in our Savior, in our loving Heavenly Father. And we ask that you would break the bread of life to us, Lord. I ask, Father, you would grant your servant utterance to speak forth the words of life with meekness and fear and in truth. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would grant all of us as we're gathered here this morning to receive your word with meekness into our hearts. Deliver us from an evil, unbelieving heart. Father, open our ears, open our eyes, help us to listen, help us to hear. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we have all the beautiful scripture inspired, given to us by God. And one of the things that we wrestle with as we're given opportunity and privilege to preach the Word of God, Lord, what would you have me to share? What would you have me to preach on? As I was wrestling with that question, had a few numerous thoughts and inspirations yesterday, day before, after Mark and I had some fellowship together, some sweet time together, sharing brother to brother. And Mark asked if I would stay over Sunday and share together with you all here today. Thought I had maybe some direction, but then this morning in the quietness and stillness. I feel the Lord just made it just a beautiful confirmation to speak on love. Love indeed. Let's take a look at these verses we read. Which is the first commandment of all? In Matthew's gospel, I believe it records it, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is one Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not many gods. One God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we worship. He is the Lord God Almighty. I don't believe any of us doubt that this morning, or if you do, I pray that you would come to a clear revelation and understanding that there's one Lord, one God, one Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though there be many gods, or gods called, so-called many gods. But I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's good for us to declare those things. I love to, in my prayer time, just to confess, oh, my Father in heaven, I believe that you are. And I believe that you are who you revealed yourself to be through Jesus Christ and your written word. And then sometimes I have to add this, oh, Lord, help thou mine unbelief, wherever I might falter, and I might not see you in fullness as I ought, and maybe temptation to bring you down to my human understanding. Someone was asking me some questions the other day about some of the deeper things of God, and finally, as we were conversing, I said, you know, if I could understand everything about my amazing Almighty God, he'd be very small. But my God is so amazing, so awesome. The Lord God is so mighty, so full of wisdom and grace and power that in our human understanding, we now see him through a glass darkly. But oh, someday, brother, sister, face to face with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior. The message this morning and burden of my heart is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is foundational in the Gospel of Matthew. At the conclusion of Jesus' description of the greatest commandment, he said, on these two, loving God and loving your neighbor, hangs all the law and the prophets. All the law that God gave to Moses, all the holy law that God gave, and all the prophets who prophesied of the coming Messiah and prophesied under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit of a Messiah, a Savior who would come and prophesied many things to Israel. Jesus says it is all wrapped up in this one major truth. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that and you walk in that grace and in that unction and power of the Holy Spirit to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul and all of your strength, and then you love your neighbor as yourself, you will have fulfilled and superseded all the law of Moses. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law of Moses, but I came to fulfill it. And in Hebrews, it tells us that the old law of Moses is abolished, and Christ Jesus, he is our King. He's our Lord. He's the one we now serve and love. Oh, this is beautiful, my brother, my sister. Can you confess this morning, oh, how I love Jesus? There's a name I love to hear. It sounds like music in my ear. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, to love God with all that is within me. And when we love God that way, there's no room for other loves. The love of the world, the glitter and glamour of the world, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, what would I trade for sitting at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, hearing his gracious words? Brother Mose once preached a message entitled, The Power of a New Affection. Out of Philippians, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, set your affections on things above. Love God. Love God with all that is within you. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these two commandments. As Brother Mark and I were sharing together the other day, reminiscing, recounting God's goodness and faithfulness over the many years, also remembering some of the trials, testings, and sifting and shaking of God's people and churches and individuals. I see Mark's not up front here right at the moment, but I think I can say it. Of a truth, our hearts broke. Over some of the losses. Some of the shipwrecks, some of the departing, As I look back on those things, being 66 years old now, having been ordained in 1990, and I look back, and I know I don't have perfect understanding of these things. But as I consider one thing, I believe if these two commandments would have been the core and center of my Christian values and utmost passionate desire to fulfill and never deviate. I believe some of those outcomes could have been different. So here we are. Here we are this morning, and it's January 2024. My dear brother, my dear sister, that we would love indeed. We would love indeed. That our love will not wax cold. Jesus, upon ask the question, what shall be the sign of the end? Of the age and of thy coming. He said, take heed that ye be not deceived. There'll be false prophets. There'll be testing times, trying times. But then he said this. The love of many will wax cold. Let's turn now to John 15, the Gospel of John. We'll begin in verse 9, John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Some other scriptures that we'll turn to as well. So what does this love indeed look like? What does this love look like in my marriage? What does this love look like with my children? What does this love look like, youth, toward your father, your mother? What does this love look like in a brotherhood, in church life? Love one another, says Jesus, as I have loved you. And then he gives a real clear, practical definition that even a child can understand. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love, indeed. Let's turn now to 1 John 3. We will begin in verse 10 of 1 John 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. I think we could all agree with that. If a person's deeds are wicked, sinful, devilish, they're not righteous deeds, that man's not of God. That woman is not of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. He that loveth not his brother is not of God. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. These are sobering words. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We heard it from the Lord Jesus, that greater love hath no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Now we hear it in the 1 John. That because God's love was so manifest through Jesus laying down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what does this love look like? We touched a little bit on loving God. What does this love look like in my marriage? When the scriptures speak that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, the word ought in the King James translation doesn't bring out the impact or the strength of the word. Anybody here tell me how that reads in the German Bible? Mark, would you know? No? Ich hab gehört die Schrift in German, I'm not very Dutch, is mee sterk, mee standhaftig, stronger in many things than our English language, is a little more of a, I'm not this personality type thing, but flamboyant or whatever, a little more watered down, smoothed. But you can go back to the Strong's reference on the word ought. We ought to lay down our lives. It's our moral obligation. It is a command, not a suggestion. We are indebted to one another in the brotherhood to lay down our lives one for another. We ought to. We are under moral obligation. I cannot be stubborn, strong-willed, unteachable, unmovable in my position. There's many times we need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to lay down our lives. Why is that sometimes so difficult to do? Is it because self, my carnal nature, my selfish nature, my will is standing in the way? And therefore, it begins to cause friction in the marriage between husband and wife. Come on, my dear brother. Can you not lay down your life? Can you not lay down your rights and your demands? For your wife. If your wife were able to be totally honest, could she say, my husband loves me like Jesus loved the church? 1 Corinthians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And here it comes. And gave himself for it. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. You know, we men, we can be a bit arrogant, proud. Oh, after all, the scriptures do say the husband is the head of the wife. Well, the scriptures do say, husbands, Jesus is your example of how you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You need to lay down your life for your wife. Now, I know that that could use some counterbalance. Like Brother Mark and I were sharing together, you know, when you're preaching a message, you can't always bring all the counterbalance in. And I see it's already 20 after 11. Let's take it to heart. I just want to say this. Husband, if your marriage is suffering and there's conflict, I want to urge you to look in the mirror real deeply, real hard. This is the mirror. This is the mirror, the Word of God. And examine your own heart. Is Jesus Christ, the love of God, flowing out to my wife, to my children? Let us turn to Philippians 2. Love, indeed. Philippians 2. Verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the ultimate example of humility and laying down his life. Not my will, but thy will be done. How many conflicts could be resolved where we would have that attitude and have the mind of Jesus? Not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done. Beautiful exhortation. Oh, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. That there be fellowship of the Spirit and bowels and merciful kindness. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And where that love, where we are baptized in that love and walking in that love of God, oh, it constrains us, it motivates us, it affects our responses when there's maybe difficult situations and there's testings and we don't react in strife. We don't add fuel to the fire by our vain glorying in ourselves and our wisdom and our righteousness. No, no. But we in lowliness of mind, meekness, lowliness of mind is humbleness, meekness. In our meekness, Jesus was meek and lowly and humble of heart. And in that same Christ-likeness coming out of our lives, there we have love to forbear, to esteem other better than ourselves. Not looking on just my things from my point of view, but on the things of others. I would like to drop over to verse 17 of Philippians 2 here. He says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. There's another scripture I would have liked to turn to, but I think I won't for sake of time. And yet, maybe we should. This scripture here, Paul, as I understand it, is saying that if I be offered upon sacrifice and service, my life, any sacrifice I make, any labor of love that I bestow upon you Philippian believers, he says that it says nothing really, because it brings me great joy and rejoicing to see Christ in you, Christ being formed through the sacrifice of me laying down my life and serving the body of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's do that one, because it does bring this out a bit more clear in that scripture. In 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about his persecutions. He talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. He talks about being troubled, perplexed, persecuted. And then in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says this: always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I don't know what you think about as you hear those words, but what comes to my heart is, oh, if brother, sister, you can die to yourself, you can die to your own will, so that life can work in your brother, or life can work in your marriage, life can work in your situation, wherever you find yourself. Paul says that death works in me, and life comes out of that death. And see, that's the example of our Lord Jesus. Out of him dying comes resurrection. Another teaching we could turn to, and we won't for sake of time, but except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, oh, then he brings forth so much fruit. Maybe a few more practical applications. I talked about in our marriage, talked a little bit about in our families. I wonder if we could be honest enough with each other and ourselves here this morning. The root cause of my relationship difficulties and struggles in the brotherhood, or my lack of loving God with all my heart, reverencing him, the fear of God upon my heart, and loving my brethren. The root cause of your marriage problems, the lack of loving God with all your heart, the lack of loving your spouse with that love of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. Lay down your life. I have been grieved and amazed. Can those two words go together? I have been grieved and amazed what some men will do to be right. They'll let their marriage fall apart. They'll let there be separation. But I'm standing firm. I am right. It's even more painful and sad when you see that, or I shouldn't say more. It's as painful when you see those things happen in brotherhoods. I want to urge us here this morning, including myself, love the brotherhood. Someone was mentioning in the prayer room this morning, what a blessing, what a privilege it is that I get to be here with this family of believers. Hold your brothers in high esteem. Think of them more highly than yourself. Think of the blessed privilege it is to be a part of a body of believers who love one another. Whose love isn't growing cold, it's rather growing warmer and more fervent. Let's close with this scripture in 1 Peter 4. As we consider this whole matter of love indeed, 1 Peter 4, and in verse 7 he says, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Oh, my brother, my sister, it's not time to play. It's time to pray. It's time to be serious. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be sober and watch unto prayer. And then he says these words, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sin." I exhort us this morning, including myself, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself, and have fervent charity among yourselves, husbands and wives, youth and moms and dads. I mean, hate selfishness like cancer. Cancer can kill your body. Self-willed pride can take you to hell. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. My dear brothers and sisters, love God and love your neighbor and have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean that you just sweep it under the rug. No. No. But charity that covers sin means I don't go gossip and spread it abroad. Did you hear or see what happened there? And so. No. I don't take part with the devil's plan to accuse, to criticize, and to condemn. Rather, we come alongside with that fervent charity and love. Oh, my dear brother, how can I pray for you? Ye which are spiritual, when you see one falling, you restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Love. Love compels us, constrains us. Love. Oh, that our love will be so fervent. It'll be so genuine. It'll be so real. It'll be so full of grace and truth. It will be so manifest in the body of believers at Faith Christian Fellowship that those looking on say, "Of a truth, God is in this place." I believe God is real because I see those brothers laying down their lives one for another. By this the world knows we are true disciples. Many more scriptures we could turn to, but I really do feel like it's probably time to close. But I just want to urge us here today. I'm now 66 years old. And some of the things I've seen, I grieve over. Some of the things in my own life. I think all of us could say we see things where if we could go back and do it over with the knowledge we have now, we would do it different. So I don't want there to be any condemnation on anyone here today, because there's forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. And when we are sincerely sorry and we confess and repent, he forgives. But I want to urge us here this morning, if you forget everything else I've said, please do not forget. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor. And your neighbor is your spouse. Your neighbor is your brother in church. Your neighbor is the ones closest to you. Charity, fervent charity, that love, it shall cover a multitude of sin. Thank you for letting me share. Father, I do come in Jesus' name, and I ask your blessing upon Faith Christian Fellowship. I ask your blessing upon Brother Mark and the other leaders here, the other elders, deacons. Father, I ask in Jesus' name you would keep Faith Christian Fellowship in the love of Christ, abounding love, fervent love, that lays down our life one for another. To see Christ in my brother and in my sister. Father, I thank you for this privilege of being together here this morning and opening our Bibles and to learn of you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would just cause your face to shine upon this body of believers. Cause them to walk in the humility and the love and the grace of Jesus all their days. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.